Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Purple. The Purple mattress, not the color. This isn't Sesame Street. You're going to love Purple. And right now, you guys can get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a Purple mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow, text GHOST to 84888. That's G-H-O-S-T to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019, at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a grandmother return to comfort a daughter and granddaughter? A message from the grave is delivered late in the night, and a listener asks for advice on how to handle an overwhelming haunting.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, this is listener supported by you, go to our website, ghostpodcast.com, and sign up to be an extra podcast person. That's what we refer to as EPPs. You get access to all the bonus episodes. We put a brand new one out every single week exclusively for EPPs. You also get a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, and a whole lot of extras, video content, more access to tickets to events and stuff prior to anybody else, pre-sale stuff. You get all that. It's only $5 a month. And if you like this show, you listen to it on a regular basis, please consider supporting it. That's how we do it at ghostpodcast.com. Or you can sign up through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up there. Same sort of a deal. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you this fine day? You're heavily breathing over there.
Yeah, I'm sick, but I'm okay.
You are sick.
No, I'm like
disturbed.
No, I'm not that kind of sick. Well, sometimes, but no, I'm bronchitis and sinus infection. So breathing is a challenge, but
it's
I'm
fun.
Good.
And the other thing that the listeners can't see today, but you are kind of wearing like the Hannibal Lecter face mask that the doctor gave you.
Right.
Like, Clarice.
That's so gross. I hate that.
There's a line from that movie what is the line? Let me look it up. It's a line that everybody claims and they quote from that movie. But it's a line that was never spoken in that movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's the Mandela effect. Silence of the Lambs, right?
Uh-huh. I've never seen that movie and I don't plan on seeing it.
Hello, Clarice, is the line that people will quote. And they think, oh, it's people remember this. Uh-huh. If you watch Silence of the Lambs, you'll think, oh, I remember the scene where she walks into where he is with the mask on and he says that. Never spoken in the movie.
Weird.
Never once said ever. But you know what I'm talking about, the Mandela effect. Yeah. And the Mandela effect is one of those things where people look back upon different situations in history, and then they go, oh my God, I could swear to God I remember that happening. And it never happened. Or a different variation happened that you could swear was not real. I mean, that's where you get things like people believing that the movie, which was the fake one, Shazam or Kazam, one of the two, was the one where the rumored Sinbad version of the movie.
I think it was Shazam, but there's actually a Shazam movie now.
Now there is that. Yeah. But back in the day, people were like, I remember Sinbad and Shazam. Like, no, you didn't, that didn't exist. There's one I just saw the other day, and I felt kind of stupid about this because, I mean, I'm not a history buff, but I think I know my history okay.
Okay.
And Tiananmen Square, the tank.
Yeah.
What happens? There's a man standing in front of the tank.
Right. Yeah. I want to say the tank runs over the person, but I don't know if
that's
for sure.
Yeah, that's what everybody... No. Guy got on top of the tank.
Okay.
Never got run over.
But, like, all the footage cuts off right before you assume the tank's going to run over the person.
And I think that's... Which is weird, because I don't know why it does cut off like that, because he never gets run over. The man gets on top of the tank and sits on there and such. There's no story. There's no documented story as to whatever happens to the man who did that. He very likely went to jail and was executed with the government at that time in China. But yeah, the memory is, oh, he gets run over and the footage cuts out right before in most cases.
And see, I don't think I've seen any footage beyond the point where everybody cuts it off and you assume he got run over, because that's the most horrific thing you can think of. It's not as horrific. Oh, he climbed on top of the tank, you know?
It's so interesting because there's so many things that we have this this images as far as the Mandela effect. Like, for example, I just remembered that you were coughing and you really weren't.
I'm really trying not to be gross.
I know. Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Life was like a box of chocolates.
Is that the quote? The quote is actually was?
Was. Yep.
Okay.
It's yeah. There's so many things. Jif or Jiffy peanut butter.
Thought it was Jif.
It is Jif, but there's, and I swear to God, I remember in my mind, I can picture this blue logo that says Jiffy.
Okay.
And I know there's Jif. I remember Jif, but I swear to God, there was a Jiffy peanut butter. There wasn't. Okay. And so many other people have this same memory.
Weird.
I don't know what the hell. I don't know if there was like just another brand of peanut butter that somehow I thought said Jiffy and everybody else did too, or what, but there's all these things.
Could it be a fake product that was used in a movie that people thought, well, it was so close to something that really exists, they assumed it was real?
I have memories of being in the supermarket seeing this product.
Okay.
I can picture the label in my head. I can picture looking at the aisles of the Piggly Wiggly and seeing this. It was like a light blue label, and then it was a... some sort of a, like, it was almost, it wasn't like cursive, but it was almost like a handwritten Jiffy on kind of a diagonal. That's how it's crazy this stuff is, because it gets down to super detail of like, no, I didn't remember what this was.
Okay.
So I don't know. It's totally bizarre. All right. I want to ask you guys a question. How did you sleep last night? Was it restful, or was it kind of like tossing, turning? It's okay. I'm just, you know, you're doing your routine, and your routine is not all that, I guess, satisfying. Maybe the right word. Sleep is important. The quality of your sleep definitely affects the quality of your daily life. Okay, when you get a restful night's sleep, you sleep the night through. You wake up, you're ready to go, and it's an amazing thing, especially if you're going from nights where you're not sleeping very well. If you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you have to try the Purple mattress. Okay? This is not another memory foam mattress. There's obviously a gazillion of those things out there. Purple mattress, completely different. You ready for something different here? Founders of Purple, two brothers, they've been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And then they decided to finally use their patented comfort technology to create a consumer product, which is the Purple mattress. So what makes it different? Well, Purple mattress, it's going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced. Yes, it really is. Because it uses this brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It's exciting, right? So it's not like the memory foam that you may be used to. Purple material feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. That's important. Ends up giving you a zero gravity-like feeling, so you can sleep in almost any position. It is awesome. If you don't believe me, you can try it for 100 nights risk-free. 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. And you're thinking, well, wait, I have to pay shipping. No, you don't. Free shipping and returns, backed by a 10-year warranty. You have literally nothing to lose. 100-night risk-free trial, free shipping, free returns. If you're not satisfied, it's all there for you, okay? Free in-home setup and old mattress removal as well. Want to try it? Convinced? I think you should be. You are going to love Purple. And right now, my listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow. Text GHOST to 84888. That's GHOST to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter today. It says, hi, firstly, I have recently discovered your brilliant podcast and enjoy listening while at work. Over the years, I've experienced some stuff that I cannot explain or comprehend and would like to share some of mine and my family's experiences with you and your listeners. I'm from East Yorkshire in the UK and I've lived here for all of my 51 years. My first story goes back to December of 1986. Oh, what a night. Oh, wait, that was December 1969. Late December back in 86. My cousin's mom, sister, son, and his wife lived down the road from where I lived, and my three siblings and my mom and dad. It doesn't flow quite as well. Okay. My cousin had to pass her. I do the whole story in four seasons. My cousin had to pass our house to get to his, and would often pop in for a cup of tea and a natter. I don't know what a natter is. I'm assuming like a biscuit. One night on his way home from work, he ran into his house breathless and white as a sheet. His wife asked him what on earth was wrong. He began to tell her that as he was passing near my house to walk to his house, he saw my dad, his uncle, and he shouted to him. But my dad didn't respond, even though he repeatedly shouted his name. My cousin freaked out, and all of a sudden, my dad vanished. The following morning, my cousin came to my house and knocked on the front door. My mom answered the door, and I heard my cousin ask her if my dad was in. I then heard my mom tell him that my dad had passed away the night before. My cousin never told my mom or any of us what he'd witnessed the night before, as he didn't want to upset us. His wife told me some years later, and when I told my mom, she felt very comforted by it and said that my dad is probably coming to say his goodbyes to us. Fast forward to about 96 or 1997, and at this point I was married and had a little boy who was still in a pushchair. I sat there thinking about my dad, as I still do, and feel sad that he would never get to see his grandson. One night my dad came to me in my dreams and said he was talking to his grandson, or taking his grandson out for a walk in his pushchair. I strapped my son in his pushchair, and off they both went. The dream seemed so real that the next morning I awoke and was tearful all day. I really miss my dad. I've had a few dreams where my dad is there, but I have not had any further dreams, as I feel he gave me some sort of closure and acceptance of his death, so no longer he needs to visit me. My next brief story happened while I was at home in about 2004. I was in my living room and just happened to look towards the living room window, and just above the window near the ceiling was a swirly cloud of gray smoke that was as wide as the window, 5 feet. As soon as I saw it, it shot into the wall as if it had been sucked up by a vacuum. I thought my eyes were deceiving me, but I couldn't explain what I'd seen, and there was nobody else there to witness it. I thought no more of it until later that year, or it might have been the following year, I'm not certain. I was with my son watching TV. It just turned midnight on New Year's Eve, and my son happened to look up at the same window and said, "Mom, I've just seen a shadow dart off into the wall." As soon as he said that, I got the most horrendous stomach pain that came from nowhere. The pain peaked when it went, and suddenly as it came. I felt very uneasy after this, and for a long time I could not go to bed unless a light was left on in the hallway. I've had no other strange experiences and have never sensed anything bad in the house, so I cannot understand what I saw or why. I love my house and have recently moved due to the fact that the neighborhood is no longer the nice, friendly, pleasant place it once was. I lived there for 24 years happily. A few other incidents I'd like to share. In 2004, my lovely Nana, my dad's mom, passed away in her sleep at the age of 90. Every Thursday, my son and I would visit my Nana and we'd have dinner together, which I'd usually pick up en route to her house. We'd maybe have fish and chips 1 week, Chinese takeaway another week, which my Nan loved because when her husband was alive, he was the old-fashioned type and liked good old-fashioned homemade cooked traditional British food, so she never had tried pizza or Chinese food. So on Thursday, we had our meal, and my Nana and my son toddled off into the living room while I cleared away the dishes, etc. I walked from the kitchen across the tiny hallway into her living room, and as I reached her living room to take a seat, something shot past my peripheral vision into the hallway. I couldn't see anything, so I just shrugged my shoulders and didn't mention anything, as I didn't want to scare my Nana or son. I went home and told my Nan that I'd see her the following week. Sadly, 3 nights later, she passed away in her sleep. So I guess what I saw 3 nights previous was quite significant to her passing. My cousin also saw a figure standing in her spare bedroom the day that she died. I remember not really long before she died, we were in my car, and she told me that my granddad, who had died in 95, had visited her during the night. I asked her to explain what she meant, and she said that she was asleep in bed and woke up. When she looked to the bottom of her bed, my granddad sat in a wicker chair that she has, and he was reading a newspaper. He didn't speak, but he sat there, as plain as day, reading his paper. She said she wasn't frightened and just went back to sleep. I think she was happy about his visit. As you can see, I've experienced one or two things that I can't explain. I've been prodded in the shoulder. I've had my hair pulled. I've had voices. Or thought I have. I really believe there is a parallel world that we can't see, but I believe we live among it, and some of us are just a bit more open to it than others. I'd be interested to hear if anyone else has ever experienced the gray, smoky cloud like an apparition that I had no idea at the time what it was. Have a great day.
I think it's a very sensitive family there, and they have a history of making death visits, either right before or right after somebody's coming to take them away or coming back right after they die. And I think the combination of them being all sensitive plus that is where all these stories come from.
That was a horrible song.
It was a horrible song.
I remember that like on the oldies stations.
Yeah.
Kids coming to take you away. Ha ha, I'm coming to take you away. If you ever want a bad song.
That's a good one.
That's a good one to find. I think that's interesting when people are visited by something, someone at the end.
Sure.
And we've had stories where it's loved ones coming to take them away. Haha. And all the way to there's something else coming to take you away. And they're kind of freaked out by it. Mm-hmm. And the loved ones are like, well, I don't know what the hell. This doesn't seem like Uncle Bernie that's showing up. It's, you know, God knows what. And they're there. Mm-hmm. But it seems to happen close to the end. I had this conversation yesterday. I was a guest on Bridget Marquardt's paranormal show, and we were talking about this very thing, because she said that her 100-year-old grandmother, they've been putting tape recorders in her bedroom
okay
to record her, and this knocking that they're hearing. She said that they've been hearing this knocking at night, like two or three knocks. Because I mean, the question was, how many knocks are you hearing?
Yeah.
And she's like, typically it's about three, but sometimes that third one is a little muffled. Uh-huh. And they're trying to determine what the hell it is. If it's like a tree branch on the outside, if there's something in the wall, what? But it's happening and they cannot narrow it down. And then in the middle of the night, her grandma starts speaking in her sleep. Like, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time, and like you're early. This, it's not time yet. Like, almost.
Oh wow.
I mean, you could take it. You know, there's a lot of context you got to put that into.
Sure.
The grandma doesn't really have any remembrance of these dreams, specifically of what they were or why she was saying those specific lines. But I mean, you could easily insert the context of it's like, oh, this is like visits from the other side. And I was like, well, how do I say this? She's 100 years old. And it's like, well, typically, you know, towards the end, we, you know, you start. And I was like, well, you know, being that she's 100, you know, it is fairly common. And I'm not saying it's going to happen next week.
Sure.
But we do see that where people seem to start getting visits from the other side, almost like as, hey, I'm reaching out my hand. And when it's time, I'm going to be here to help you over. And she's like, yeah, I've been trying to tell my family that with some sensitivity to,
yeah.
to not be like, she's going to kick it next week. But that is happening. Okay. And it seems to be that's what is going on in that case. But it is a very common thing.
I think it's neat, though, that she's taking the effort to document this ahead of time.
Oh, she's got like K2 meters and stuff that she's running into her grandma's bedroom with to try and catch stuff.
Good for her. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. That conversation, if you want to hear it on her podcast, I think that she told me it airs on the 27th. So by the time the May 27th, so by the time this episode airs, it'll be back on be able to download it. So that's on her show, Bridget Marquardt. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey, Tony and Jenny, my name is Melinda, and I want to share with you a story about my mother. My mother passed away at the age of 63 on September 6th of 2018. She hadn't been feeling well for a long time, and when she finally went to the doctor, she realized she needed to have surgery for a blockage in her stomach. She was in surgery for around 8 hours, and her kidneys gave out. This, understandably, was crushing to my sister and me and our children. My mother was always a single mom. She took care of my sister and me by herself our entire lives while growing up. Several times she worked as many as three jobs to make ends meet. Not a day goes by that I don't think of her. My mother was able to bond with my nephew's daughter, being her first great-grandchild, and I knew this loss would be significant for Paisley, who was 2 years old at the time. About a month after my mom died, I asked my sister to send me a picture to me of Paisley, since I didn't live in the same town. She did, and when I opened my photo, I saw my beautiful great-niece sitting on a bar stool in the kitchen with a window behind her. I immediately saw what looks like my mother standing in the window looking in. This was taken at nighttime, and you can clearly see my mother, who looks like she's smiling and looking at Paisley. It has the same facial features as my mom, and I can make out her nose. Not only that, but my great-niece told her mother that her nanny, my mom, visited her and played tea set. This was a few days after my mom's passing. My mom was a wonderful mother who always put her children first, and I can see her checking in on us from time to time. I've included a picture. What are your thoughts? Thanks for the podcast. Listen to you regularly and truly enjoy hearing other people's stories. I don't have the picture readily available. I didn't realize that she had attached it, but
no, I think that the mom is coming back, because when you die suddenly like that, sometimes you get confused and you don't realize you're dead, and so you stick around. And even though it's been quite a while, sudden deaths, it seems like they seem to have a higher incidence of ghosts, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's more so confusion or what exactly it is that's causing that. But it does seem to be that is what happens more times than not. I am trying to see if I can find that photo in a relatively timely manner, because I'm really curious.
Yeah.
I just see. Try one more thing here. If I can't, there was another disturbing photo that was posted to our Facebook group page. Okay, here's a. Open it. Let's see what we got. There's the kid. I'm horrible at these photos. It does look like there's something in the window, but I couldn't tell you what it is. It just looks kind of like there's something there. You know, I suppose if you know the stature of your mother, you could go, oh, that looks like her figure.
Or the outline.
Or the outline. But I personally am horrible at picking these things up. But there does look like there's clearly something in the window. There was on our Facebook group page, Real Ghost Stories Online group, if you want to join us, just send us a request. There's a, I don't know if this is like some sort of modern art piece or what the hell it is. I'm trying to find it. It was really messed up in, I'm not picking it up, but it was something to the effect of bathe in mother's milk. And it's the most creepy, it's not even ghostly. It's just woman who looks like she could be like an apparition. It looks like if the ghost from Ghostbusters in the library was like a person alive, and she had a very defunct bathroom that was falling apart. And then she filled up a bathtub with milk and then let middle-aged men come and bathe in it.
Weird.
It's messed up. And there's all these, there's these photos that are posted on this website of this, and the options are like almond milk, regular milk, or like goat milkers. Oh, here it, okay, I found it. Bathe in my milk. And it starts out with, it looks like a poster that was posted on the side of a telephone pole. Offer open to men only, soy, almond, or traditional. Use my sponge, I will watch you. And then there's pictures of this, of this happening, with this weird, creepy old woman and these weird guys. And there's one picture where she's standing outside looking in the bathroom window. It's like, what kind of a nightmare is this?
That's so weird.
It's weird. It's bizarre. It's creepy. It's probably one of the creepiest things. If at the end of the year, I'm to say, what's one of the more disturbing things and creepy things you've seen online this year? That would be in the top five. It's just like, what the hell is this? I'm sure it's not real, but I hope it's not real.
Yeah.
Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. This is Mickey from Wilkes-Barre again. I'm the girl with the haunted workplace, I guess, that apparently, I mean, I told you guys that there used to be the William Nyer estate on here. I was a girl with a box cutter in my pocket. So I just wanted to call in, and first of all, I want to say thank you so much, guys, for what you do, and giving people like me a platform for just getting these stories out. You know, like I talk to my brothers about them. They're very, very much into the paranormal. But most people think I'm crazy when I, you know, talk about these stories. So here's another short story for you guys. So several years ago, I was in a relationship with this guy who was a little bit damaged. I kind of knew that his background wasn't so great. He never knew his father. I don't want to talk about his mother, but his mother claimed that she was raped. And but even, you know, her brothers and sisters didn't really buy that story. It just seemed like it was kind of a story that he was told, so she didn't have to tell him who his father was. So you can imagine, you know, what this guy was going through growing up knowing that. So, you know, his mother, she took that, and, you know, she took his father's name to the grave with her. And she died in his early 20s. So, you know, fast forward a couple of years, and he and I are dating, and he's just still dealing with this, obviously. And so he grew up in the area, you know, same area as me, and he had asked me one night, he was just really hurting, and he said, can we please just drive past my old house? And so we did. And I said, yeah. And so we pull over in front of the house, and he just wants to walk around the house. And he ends up checking the back door, and I'm not condoning breaking and entering, but the back door was open. The landlord was actually doing, I'm sorry, but he was actually like, he was like refurbishing the place. And, so for some reason the back door was open. So we walk in, and we didn't, you know, disturb anything. But he's just walking around, you know, reminiscing, telling me, you know, like what was where. And, so, you know, we spent maybe like 15 minutes in there just walking around. And, as we're leaving through the kitchen and walking out the back door, I hear in a very strained voice his name. And now I don't want to say his name. I mean, I don't think he necessarily listens to this podcast because he's not really very, you know, very interested in the paranormal. But just out of respect, I'm not going to say his name. So we both walk back to my car. We get, you know, back into my car, and we're just sitting there. And I'm trying to process what I just heard. And I look at him, and he has tears in his eyes. And I ask him if he's okay, and he just looks at me, and he said, did you hear what I just heard? And, you know, we did the whole one, you know, like one, two, three, say it, and we both said the same thing. We both had heard his name as we were walking out of the house, and this is, you know, the house that his mother passed away in. I'm sorry, just feeling for him a little bit, even though I shouldn't. But you know, fast forward to a couple of months, and I find a Ouija board in our house, and which I'm not opposed to, you know. I mean, like I actually kind of, you know, collect. I don't use them. I actually don't have any Ouija boards, but I like to collect planchettes, like the old ones, like the, you know, mystery boards and, you know, stuff like that. I like to collect the planchette from those, but then I find out that he has been using it on his own to speak to his mother, or try to speak to his mother, which, of course, I just freaked out about. Because he, like I said, he knows nothing about paranormal and or anything about Ouija boards in general, and so I made him get rid of it. And like you said, Tony, you know, like made by like Milton Bradley, like this one, like have like a glow in the dark planchette. I mean, it was ridiculous, but still, you don't mess with things like that if you don't know what you're doing. And even then, you don't mess with stuff like that. So he actually, after that, like he, like I said, you know, he was damaged, you know, he had a lot of problems. He actually shortly after bringing that Ouija board home and going to visit his old house, he actually committed himself. He I'm not sure if that's like a 7717 or something like that. But yeah, he put himself in for 72 hours in in a hospital, and he was doing pretty well after that. He was seeing a psychiatrist and taking medication taking antidepressants. But then he started getting very paranoid about his psychiatrist, saying that he was judging him and this and that, and he stopped seeing him. So obviously that was my cue to get the hell out of this relationship. We were living together at the time, so I needed, obviously a week or two to, get my shit together and find a new place. And in that week or two, he nearly killed me. So you might want to play this for We Do Awareness Week. Luckily, I survived. He did end up getting the help that he needed. He's married now. I've forgiven him, actually, because I knew he was very sick. We actually ended up working together for a short period of time. That's my latest story. Well, not my latest story, but that's one of my other stories. And just thank you so much, guys, for letting me get that out. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Oh, wrong one. There we go. There you go.
I think that's a hard one, because it sounds like he had so many things going on even before he started messing with trying to communicate with his mom, that it's hard to know if something latched onto him because of his pain and decided to, try and control him that way, or if it was just things that were already going on amplified.
Mm-hmm. Now, I completely agree with your sentiment. It's hard to know exactly what was the cause of it, but thank you for sharing that story with us. Do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, this is more of a plea for help than a story. So please, if there's anyone who may be able to help with this, please let me know. I moved into an old house some 5 years ago out of desperation, so I did not have to tote my son the 15 miles one way to high school 5 days a week. I swore to myself that this was only temporary, but even after his graduation from high school 2 years ago, I'm still stuck here because of financial reasons. Since childhood, I've always been sensitive to spirits, and it's become even more pronounced the older I get. The house that I'm in, I've always sensed a presence, and I know that one is there. I hear the footsteps at night walking through my kitchen, the living room, and then they're just gone. It sounds like heavy boots in a long stride. Very creepy, not scary, just creepy. I hear noises, like something fall, but when I check, nothing is there. I always feel watched, like it's quietly watching every move I make. The other day, I was standing at my sink washing dishes, and I felt something touch my side like a poke, as if it just wanted me to be aware of its presence, almost childlike, wanting attention. I see the dark shadows moving quickly by me, and when I look directly at it, they're gone. All this is fine because I do not feel threatened by it, and the situation is livable but creepy. My niece lived with me for a short time, and it scared her. She said that the doorknob in her bedroom would move as if someone was trying to get into her room. She said that it would wiggle, not turn, just wiggle, and it'd have to deal with her being scared out of her mind at night. My son also dealt with some very scary things here before he moved out and joined the army. But to this day, he refuses to tell me about them because he's afraid that he'll scare me, which he probably is right. Now, this is what I'm dealing with inside my house, but what is outside I'm horrified of. I don't want to sound insane, and I'm not. I'm not writing this from the inside of an institution. The presence that's outside my house has just shown up and has been here for about 3 weeks now. The only way I can describe what I feel is pure evil. I'm scared to death of it, and horror consumes me when I have to go out there. I leave very early in the morning to work at 3:30 a.m. It's very dark. There are mornings that I feel it's not out there. Then there are mornings that I feel like it is watching me from my fence line. I live in a rural area. It has made itself known to me. It started off at first like a distant whistle. Second thing it did almost caused me to have a heart attack, and I'm not exaggerating. That morning I'd gotten up from work. I have a dog that I keep inside my house with me, so the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is put my dog outside to go to the bathroom. That morning my dog would not leave my porch. He'd bark and growl out of the darkness. I opened the door, and the hair on his neck was standing straight up, and he ran back into my house like he was scared and did not stop until he was under my bed. I thought maybe a possum or a raccoon was out there, and he was scared of it. After about 20 minutes, my dog went back to the door, wanting outside, so I opened the door, and he would not go out. I had to push him outside. Again, he would not leave the porch and stood there, bristled up, growling into the darkness. I opened the door, and he ran into the house again. I was not scared, just confused by the way my dog was acting. Now it came time for me to leave for work, and I turned off all the lights, walked down my sidewalk, through my front gate, and got into my car. I put my keys into the ignition and was fumbling for the headlight switch, which for some reason I could not find. My car window was down about halfway, but my door was shut. From the dark area that my dog had been so frightened of, about 50 feet in front of my car, I heard a sound that I've never heard before. It sounded like it was right in my ear doing this, and it sounded like someone was blowing a duck call, but very baritone and very strange sounding. It was so loud it made my ears hurt. It scared me so bad I felt like my heart was up in my neck, and I suddenly got this awful headache. I started my car, and my entire body was shaking to the point I could hardly press the gas accelerator. I backed up and finally found the headlights on my car and turned them on, pointing them to the direction of the noise, and I saw nothing. A week later, I got a phone call that was strange. It was my best friend calling me, as that's what the caller ID showed. I answered the phone and said hello, and this very faint voice of a man came on and said, "Hello." It sounded like he was a million miles away with a static-like sound. I detected a slight accent. He may have been Hispanic. I asked him who he was, and after a long pause, he said, "Who is this?" I got very freaked out and almost hung up the phone, but told myself not to. I asked him if he had the wrong number, and he said no. Then the line went dead. I immediately called my friend back and asked her if she just tried to call me, and she said yes, but the phone was doing something weird. She said it was making a sound like static blaring from a TV, and the sound was fading in and out. She wanted to know what was going on with my phone. Now, I don't know if this had anything to do with all of these other things, but it was weird. I don't know what's going on in my house and why all this is happening. I'm really scared to the point all I can do is sit on my couch after dark and brace myself for something to happen.
So it sounds like the worst thing is outside and isn't able to come in. Is that what you're understanding?
That's kind of what I'm understanding. I mean, it sounds like there's, you know, bits and pieces on the inside, but I wonder if there's two separate things going on.
That's what I'm thinking.
The evidence that there's something else going on with the dog reacting the way it is really, you know, puts it more into the category of there's some solid proof here that there is something, that there's something there. It's not just paranoia or someone being really troubled by something in their mind.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when the dog starts dealing with it too, then you know it's not just in your mind.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Do greatly appreciate it. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Get access to all of the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. $5 a month keeps us on the air. Thank you for your support. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.